And who is Jesus? And you know, it's a question that some people ask, and it's a question that's been asked many years down through the centuries. And this morning up in Shetty Camp, Pierre was teaching on a passage there at a time when the disciples came to, and the Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And a lot of people ask that question, and it's a question that's extremely important. In fact, it's one of the most important questions in all the world. And it's more important than even who's going to win the election on Monday night. Who is this person, Jesus, that we talk about? And there's many opinions in the world today, and there's all kinds of ideas about who Jesus is, who he was, what he wasn't, and what he is. And you know, there's almost nobody who would deny that he was a historical figure that lived. I mean, there's almost nobody like that, because the historical facts are established, right? People understand that there was a person. The debate is over who he was and who he is today, and is that important to people at all? And I want to just look at a few verses in John chapter 1 and just think about a little bit about who this person is that we talk about, that we believe in, that we trust in. And so we're going to go to John chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 1. John 1 and verse 1. It says there, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing that was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And we'll just ask the Lord's help before we begin. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for our time together tonight, Lord, and for your word. Father, Lord, we just confess our need tonight, and Lord, we just ask that the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, open our minds, Father, to receive truth and to understand these things we're about to read together, Lord. We just need your Spirit, Lord, to work in our hearts and to teach us, Lord, to speak to us, Father, to do a work. And Lord, we just ask you to come now. And Lord, meet with us here. Lord, we would learn of you tonight, Lord. And so we commit our time to you now. We ask that the name of our Lord Jesus would be lifted up and glorified in our midst. And we ask it for his sake. Amen. Many opinions on who Jesus is, and the question I could put to you tonight and the challenge to any person is, who is he to you as an individual? And that's something you can think about. Who is Jesus to you? Who is he to me? Was he just a good man that lived many years ago and did good works, and you know, he died a tragic death on a cross, and you know, we think of him that way. I read the Oran every week, because is that how you say it? The Oran or the Oran? I'm from that, yeah. I read it every week because I find it interesting, and it helps me to learn about, you know, Cape Breton. And I read Bill Dunphy's column on a regular basis. And you know, a couple of weeks ago, Bill was going on about the fact that there is no God, and he had quite the rant going on there. But you know, it was interesting, in the middle of his column, he quotes from Jesus Christ. And he talks about how, you know, he loving others, right, and serving others. And it was interesting to me. If I ever get a chance to meet Bill, I'm going to ask him why he would do that. So was he just a good man like Bill Dunphy thinks that lived, you know, and people who don't even believe in him today as Savior, right, will still say, oh yeah, he was a good guy, and he loved people, he did good things, and that's all well and good, but you know, he was just a man after all. But look at verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And the first thing I want to focus on here is that Jesus here is called the Word, and that's a very interesting thing. And of course, we think of the Bible as the Word of God, and it is. It's the written record of God's truth. But here, Jesus is called the Word. And that word there is a Greek word, which is logos or logos. And Jesus very much is the Word of God. He is the divine expression, if we can put it that way. He is God's one true messenger. And he speaks on behalf of God. And that's why here he is called the logos, the Word of God. God's one true messenger and spokesperson. And if that is true, if what the Bible says about Jesus, that he is indeed the Word, then it's very important that we listen to what he has to say to us. Because he comes from God, right? And if he is the word, if he is God's messenger, it's very important to us that we hear what he says. Hebrews chapter 1 says that God at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. And we know that all through the Old Testament we can read about the prophets of God, and those are wonderful things to read. It says in verse 2 that in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son. That's Jesus. Whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the worlds. The Lord had his prophets on this earth for many years, but in the last days he's spoken to us through his Son directly. And that's Jesus Christ, and he's called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. He's the Logos. He is the messenger of God. And so it's very important for us that we hear what he has to say. But it also says here in verse 1 that in the beginning. And of course, we think of Genesis 1:1 when we read that expression. I certainly do. In the beginning, God created, right? We think about in the beginning of all things. I'm reading a history book right now, my second book on the history of Nova Scotia. This one specifically on Cape Breton because I'm trying to learn about my new home. So I'm reading about the beginnings of this fine piece of property that we all call home and learning about some of its peoples. In the beginning, Jesus was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And when we hear that expression, we see that Jesus was there right from the very start of things, all things, right? And he's eternal. And we need to listen to him. And you know, sometimes people get this impression that Jesus just kind of, you know, showed up on the scene when he was born into this world and he didn't exist before that. And that's not what the Bible says. In the beginning was the Word. Right from the very beginning of beginnings, as far as our minds can understand that. Now, of course, the Bible speaks of God as being eternal. He's always been. And I cannot wrap my head around that. I don't understand that concept of eternity past and eternity future. But nonetheless, that's what the Bible says, right? But for us, it says he was in the beginning, and so he has always been there. And if that's the case, then we ought to listen to him. You know, it always amazes me to hear about people speak about what happened 800 million years ago as if they were there. You know, even in this first chapter of the history of Cape Breton, in the first chapter, the author goes to talk about, well, all the geological events that produced this island. Well, 800 million years ago, it was part of Europe, and it separated and drifted across the ocean, and and they speak with it with such authority as if they were actually there, if anybody was there to, you know, witness these things and record them for us. But Jesus is eternal, and he was in the beginning, and he is the Word of God. And that being the case, we need to listen to what he has to say. And you know, there's a brother in the States who heads up a ministry there, Creation Ministry, and he's an Australian fellow. I forget his name just now. But he always has an expression, you know, when you're talking to somebody who speaks about a million years ago or 800 million, you go, he says, well, were you there? Were you there? Jesus was there in the beginning. But we also see in this verse 1 that he was with God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And that's very significant for us because God is holy and no man has seen him at any time. Verse 18 in our passage here in John chapter 1 says that. No man has seen God at any time. But it says here that the Word who was in the beginning was with God. No one has ever seen God and lived. You know, even Moses, you know, said to the Lord, show me. And God says, well, I'll show you the backside. And he put him in the cleft of the rock, covered him, and as he passed by, Moses could see the back part of God, and he proclaimed the name of the Lord, and Moses' face shone with the glory of God for many days thereafter, right? No one has ever seen the glory of God directly, but the Word was with God from the beginning, because God is holy, and God is righteous, and he does not tolerate sin or any unrighteousness in his presence, and so man cannot enter into there on his own. But Jesus was with him from the very beginning. And to be with God is to know him, and to be on equal terms equal terms with him. And if Jesus was with God from the beginning, we need to listen to what he has to say. This is a very special person, indeed, that he could be with God. And Jesus himself would say in John 16 and verse 28, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. And again, I leave the world and go to the Father. In the beginning with God. He came from God, the Father, into this world. And when he left this world, he went back to be with the Father. 1 John 1 and verse 2 says, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, Jesus Christ. But we also see in this verse 1 that, oh, just lost it. Hang on, come back. There we go. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this is very significant to consider. So he was in the beginning, he's the Logos, he was with God, but not only that, he himself is God. And this is where things get difficult for people at times. And people in Jesus' day struggled with this concept. The Pharisees certainly did. And you know, it always amazes me how there's people today who will say that Jesus never once claimed to be God. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. John chapter 10, Jesus was speaking with the Jews and with the Pharisees. And he said this, he says, I and my Father are one. He was with God and the Word was God. I am one with my Father. And it says the Jews took up stones to stone him to death. That's what they did in those days. They threw rocks at you until you were dead. Why would they do that? Jesus answered them, many good works I have done. For which of these do you stone me? And this is what they said to him. They said, the Jews answered saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you being a man make yourself God. They were offended at this saying. Oh, they could accept his good works, that's fine. But you, a mere man, claiming to be God, claiming to be equal with the Father, they understood what his claims were. And that's what the Bible says, the Word was God. And this is who Jesus is. He is the Son of God, yes, the second person of what we call the Godhead or the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent, God manifest in the flesh, the Bible says. Jesus is God, and if that is true, then it's very important that we hear what he says to us. And so this is the Jesus that we have come to believe in and come to know and that we proclaim to people, not just some man, not just some good man, not some teacher, a religious guy who lived 2,000 years ago and died a tragic death. No, the Word with God from the beginning, God himself who came from God to us into this world. That's who we're speaking of. 1 Timothy 3:16, we already quoted it. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. We're going to remember that in just 2 months' time at Christmas time, that God sent his Son into the world as a baby, as a child. God was manifest in the flesh. He's the second person of the Godhead. And then in verse 2, it says he was in the beginning with God, and we kind of considered that, you know, already. And then in verse 3, John 1 and verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. He's also the creator of all things. God entrusted the creation of everything to the Son, and everything was made through him and by him and for him. The heavens, the universe, the stars, the sun, the moon, you and me, everything was made through him. He's the creator of all things. In Colossians chapter 1, 16 says, by him, all things were created, whether they're visible or invisible. Nothing was made except through him. He's before all things. In him, all things consist. And he is our creator as well. This is who Jesus is. Hebrews chapter 1 refers to him. It says, Lord, in the beginning you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up. They will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. I wonder if we're beginning to get a picture of who Jesus is. Yes, he is God, manifest in the flesh, the creator of all things, the giver and the sustainer of life. And if he created me and he created you and he created this world, and if he was here from the beginning and if he is God's messenger, it's very important that we hear what he has to say to us. Very important that people come to understand who Jesus is and what he has to say to us. But look what verse 4 says. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And this is the gospel. It's so vitally important that we understand that in him is life and it is the light of men. And we're not talking here about just physical life. We're talking here about spiritual life, about eternal life, about the life of God. And it's light for people. Jesus said himself in John 8, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Eternal life. I am the light of the world. In John 11, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Even though we die a physical death, we will live forever with Christ. He said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And here we have the heart of our message, that only Jesus saves. This is the only way. And that's a message that this world doesn't want to hear, especially in the year that we live, when we hear the words tolerance and diversity and multiple points of view and so on. Jesus brings an exclusive message and he says, look, I am the only way. And he says that to us in truth because he wants people to be saved and to understand that fact. There's only one way to God. It's not through good works. It's not through our own self-efforts. It's only through Jesus Christ. And because he's from the beginning, and because he is the Word, and he's always been with God, and he comes from the Father into this world, and he created all things, he knows what he's talking about. We have to remember who he is. Who is this one who made these claims? It's not just some man. In 1 John, we read that the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, Jesus Christ. He was that eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to you and to me. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That is where life is. To have him is to have life. To not have him is to not have life. There's no other way, and there is no other hope for mankind. Every religion and every of man is a form of works, and Randy talked about that earlier today. It doesn't matter what religion you study. I've studied some of them. They're all the same. Whether it's Buddhism or Islam or Hinduism or whatever ism, every one of those is a form of, okay, what do I have to do? What are the steps I take? What's the things that I have to do in my life to make myself, you know, right for the next life? Every single one of them except biblical Christianity. Only here do we find that man does nothing except to receive by faith what God offers to us and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus did the work for us and calls us to live in him by faith. It's unique among all the religions of the world. And in verse 5, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And this is trouble for people today. There's people all around us who do not understand, right? Jesus came into this world into a dark region. He even said of the people of the region of Galilee that the people who lived in darkness have seen a great light, right? He came into this world. But the darkness does not comprehend the light, does not understand. And there was many people in that day who did not understand. There's many people today who do not understand that Jesus is the light. And that's a big problem. But you know, there's more than just plain ignorance going on here. There's something sometimes much deeper in the heart of mankind. And we sometimes wonder, how could people not want to receive this truth? How could they not want eternal life? You know, what is it? What negative thing is there here? And Pierre stressed that this morning. I loved how he put that, you know, whatever it is we so-called give up, you know, we receive so much more from the Lord. There's not really giving up of anything, right? But look at what it says in John 3, and this is what Jesus says. He says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Now, I don't know. Is there any cockroaches in Cape Breton? No. There you go. There's no skunks here either, right? Cockroaches. Any Ganesh? Yeah. And there's no skunks here, right? That's one thing we noticed when we went back to Ontario in September to get our stuff. Is you smell the skunks on the roads in Ontario, but here there's no skunks, right? Anyway, if you came into a room, like there's some places in southern Ontario where there's lots of cockroaches, like in the city of Toronto, and I'll tell you flick the lights on in a building, they scatter for the corners, okay? When the darkness is, they're everywhere, and they leave their tracks behind. When you flick the lights on, man, they are gone, and that's what Jesus is saying, right? Everyone practicing evil hates the light, just like a cockroach. As soon as the light comes on, they scatter for the corners. Why? Because they love darkness and they love evil. And you see, it's not just that people sometimes are ignorant of the truth. That's true. But sometimes it goes much deeper and people actually love their sin and they don't want to give that up. And they're not willing to. They will not come to the light because it will expose their deeds that they are evil. They understand that there's implications. If I'm going to give my life to Jesus, that means I have to turn from my sin. And they don't want to do that. They want to hold on to that. They want to keep it. And that's also true for a great many people. And I was hoping to get the proper name for you tonight, but I remember watching a show here. I have the video at home, so I can look it up. It's called Expelled, but it's talking about with some evolutionary teachers in the U.S., and this one professor admits from his own mouth. He says, the reason I will not believe in creation is because then I will have to accept that there is a God, and then I will have to accept that he has moral requirements for man, and I am not willing to do that. I will not submit myself to a God who tells me how to live my life. That's why he will not accept the truth of creation, because he loves his sin, you see. And that's what Jesus says. Darkness has come into the world. The darkness does not comprehend it. And even more than that, the darkness rejects it oftentimes because people like their sin and they want to hang on to it. And that's what's holding people back. And we could challenge people tonight. We trust everyone here tonight knows the Lord. But it's a challenge for people as well. Is that what's holding you back? Is there some sin that you're hanging on to that you don't want to give up because you understand that if you come to Christ, there's implications? You're going to have to leave that lifestyle behind. You know, sometimes people hit rock bottom and it's not so difficult for them to see where things lead, you know? It's like that story I shared with you of that brother who was converted in Las Vegas, right? He was in the dumpster. Remember that story? Drug addict? In a dumpster. And when he was in that dumpster, he says, I'm in a trash can because I am trash. He was so badly hooked on crack cocaine, his life was destroyed, and he understood it. A moment of truth came to him. And shortly thereafter, he met some Christians. He got gloriously saved. Today, he's a pastor in that city running a mission to drug addicts. For him, it wasn't such a thing that he had hit rock bottom. For him, he wanted to get away from that sin. He just didn't know how. But for other people, they're messing in it. They don't want to give it up. Is that what's holding you back, or people that you know? You know, the Lord knows our hearts, and he knows the true motives of our hearts, and there's nothing that we can hide from him. We can't, we can fool people, but you can't fool God. And this Jesus who created you, created me, created all this world, he knows exactly what you're thinking at all times. Our hearts are like an open book to the Lord at all times. There's nothing hidden from his sight. He knows all things perfectly. And we can't do something over in a corner. We can't pretend that the lights are off and that God doesn't see it or that he doesn't know what's really motivating us. The Lord knows. We can't play games with God. He knows our hearts completely. Hebrews 4:13 says, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And there's something for us as Christians to remember too as we live our lives, right? The Lord knows what's going on in our life. Well, time is going, and so I want to just get to kind of skip down here a little bit to verses 12 and 13. Says this, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And what does it mean to believe on Jesus Christ? Shane and I were talking the other day on the way to the dump. And many people say, you know, about this very subject, what does it mean to believe? Because many people in this life will say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, absolutely, you know. I mean, all kinds of people say that, and yet for some strange reason, their life doesn't seem to really match that confession. And sometimes we wonder why. The Lord Jesus himself said, in a coming day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, and I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. There's many people who will come to Jesus in the day of judgment and say, but Lord, we did all kinds of things in your name and works and this and that. And he's going to say, I never knew you. You didn't really know me as Lord, as Savior. And many people today claim, oh yes, I'm a Christian. Absolutely, I'm a Christian. But there's no transformed life. There's no evidence that the Lord is at work in that person's heart. And here Jesus says, as many as received him. What does it mean to believe? That's right. Praise the Lord. Mental assent to the facts will not save you. We can believe that there was a man named Jesus and he died on a cross for our sins. Yeah, I believe that. That won't save us. The demons, you know, Jesus said the demons believe and tremble. Of course, the demons were in his presence before they were cast out. They know who he is. They don't submit to him. You see, they haven't received him. And for us as believers, to believe biblically is also to receive. It means to take hold of it, to lay hold of it, to take it. To say, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. I take you, Lord. I believe on you. I want to serve you. I want to live for you. I want to deny myself and take up my cross every day. And I give my life to you. I give my heart to you to trust him for salvation. That's what biblical belief is. It's not just to say, oh yeah, I believe some facts about some guy that lived 2,000 years ago, right? It's to receive him, to take him, and to lay hold on the gift that he offers us by faith, to turn from our sin, to ask Jesus to forgive us. And the question is, have you received him? It's not enough just to believe in certain facts. But we must receive him as our Savior. He is God and he is life. And he loves us all. And he wants us to abide with him eternally forevermore. But we can't save ourselves. This new life is not the works of the flesh. It says here right in our verse, right? Verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is being born again. We can't work for it. We can't achieve it by sheer determination, by saying, I'm going to do it. It can't be done. It's the work of God in our hearts. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, the Lord comes in and transforms us and makes us new. That's the new birth. The Spirit of God comes upon us and breathes life into us and gives us eternal life and awakens our spirit to God. And we're born anew. It is the work of God. We can't do it on ourselves. And I love verse 14 because it talks about the fact that this word that we've been speaking of, the one who is from the beginning with God, created all things, equal with the Father, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we remember that at Christmas time. The Lord Jesus came into this world to save us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And praise God, this is the message that we proclaim, that God is a God of grace and mercy and truth. And you know, Jesus loves people too much to lie to them and to tell them what they want to hear. He tells them the truth, that you must receive me as your Savior if you want to be saved. We must come to him. There's no other way to receive eternal life. He tells us the truth, but he's full of grace, the scripture says. Full of grace. And you may remember from Tuesday night, we said, what's grace? It's getting something we don't deserve. And God offers us eternal life. We don't deserve that. I mean, we deserve God's judgment because we're sinful people. Randy testified to that earlier. We may not all have been as bad as him over there in the Navy. You know about those Navy guys, right? But if we're truthful and honest with ourselves, right, we know that we have done wrong. We're all sinners. We've all turned from God. We all are selfish in and of ourselves. But God is full of grace, and he offers this salvation freely to everyone who will receive it. Praise God. He's full of grace. God is not out there trying to judge people and condemn people. He's offering them the gift of God, the salvation that only comes through him by faith if people will just take hold of it and receive it from him by faith. And this is the message that we proclaim, the grace of God. But today is the day of salvation, the scripture says. We don't know what a day brings forth. We don't know if we'll have tomorrow. And today is the day of salvation. We need to take the Lord up in his offer while we have life, because the day of judgment will come. But right now we have the day of grace upon us. Praise God for that. So we're just going to leave it there for tonight. This is Jesus. We've only just begun to scratch the surface. Very important that we hear what he has to say to us. Wasn't just an ordinary man. No, very Son of God. Come into this world to save you and to save me. Father, we thank you so much for our time together tonight. Lord, we bless you. Thank you, Father, for saving Randy. We thank you for his testimony, Lord, of how you reached him when he was in the Navy and took him to the Philippines, Lord, to serve you and for many years and now back in the U.S. Lord, we just bless you for this and thank you for saving us, Lord, and just the grace and the mercy that you show us day by day. Father, help us to show that to others and to, Lord, be bold in our faith as we share, Lord, your truth with others around us who do not know you. And Lord, we just want to bless you again, Father, for all the good love and grace of God to each one of us. So Father, we commit ourselves to you now. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.